There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it's Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And we are live on the USS Alabama, my favorite place on planet Earth to do a radio show. And we are back. And the battleship is looking as good as always. I've got Major General Janet Cobb, Executive Director of the USS Alabama in Battleship Memorial Park, in with me in the Mobile Command Unit right here on the fantail of the ship. First of all, I drove in and I know you're going to say, Sean, been doing a lot of clean. I didn't see everything look like just as awesome as always.
Oh, well, appreciate that, and glad to have you back here at Battleship Memorial Park. A week ago, we were very fortunate. You know, the wind shifted at the last minute. Now, I live in the Barnwell Nation, the Barnwell community, and on my street, no power.
Took it hard.
Right, but these out-of-state crews are great. But when we came last week, you know, we didn't have the last-minute storm surge that we thought we would be facing. We've got some damage to our large shop in the back.
Did water get up here towards the buildings or into the...
It did not. It was nothing like a Katrina or an Ivan. So when that wind shifted and it didn't drive in from the south, we didn't have a threat of flooding. So we had a few issues here and there, very minor, things that have been repaired. We were just blessed, absolutely blessed.
And I see people, when I pulled in today, cars in the parking lot, people touring...
That's right. We had a few. We reopened on Saturday. We brought the staff back in Friday. We gave our folks time to do their personal business with their families,
sure,
and get some tree limbs cut and things they needed to do. We had our security.
You're still
here
on generator in where you live. You're still. I mean,
you're
dealing with this like all of us. You know, had been. A lot of us got power back on, but you're dealing with the folks that don't have it on. And
well, once you figure out how to drop your refrigerator and freezer for a while and put that hot water heater on,
uh-huh,
and you can make coffee and all that good stuff, it's all good. So it's, and these crews, Baldwin EMC, Alabama Power here in Mobile, Riviera Utilities,
yeah,
but these out-of-state crews, those are the ones that are in my neighborhood,
right,
and they are fantastic.
So you're now a fan of those crews big time.
Yeah, and you know, from Katrina and Ivan, we've seen them before, but you our guys and gals out to different places,
do.
And what a great camaraderie and reciprocity that is.
For sure, and if y'all got plans, and we're going to tell you why you should have plans to come out to Battleship Memorial Park, y'all, to me, it looked as good as always out here.
Thank
so
you.
Maybe it's a great thing to do to get your mind off hurricane stuff and come out. So you got Living History Drill coming up.
We do. It's a little earlier this year. We were supposed to host the Historic Naval Ships Association National Conference this year. We'll do that next year, and it was going to be this weekend. So we move the drill up. Usually it's in that first weekend in October. So they'll be here. We'll do the call to battle stations at 1 o'clock. The yak attack will take place, weather permitting, for the aircraft to fly, and we'll have our deck drills and just our normal activities surrounding that. This will be the first time that the reenactors will berth aboard again, so we were doing some distancing and COVID prep for that, and trying to get back to normal a little bit. So it's a great weekend to see that reenactment here on deck.
And I know it goes on. I mean, it starts early, the morning goes on through it, but you've often told us, like, if we only have a couple hours with the family to do it, kind of the prime time to be here for the reenactment is what time?
You want to be on deck at 1 o'clock when it starts. So I would get here about noon, maybe a quarter till, so you can make your way. We've this year, because of COVID distancing, we've changed our entrance through the pavilion rather than the ship store. So we've changed that. It's working very well. And I'd get here about an hour ahead of time. So you've got time to get up and get a good place on the deck.
And what are they? I mean, if people have not heard us talk before, Living History Drill, what does this mean? Describe it to folks that hadn't seen this.
almost all of our reenactors come. They dress in the World War II enlisted sailor uniforms, a couple of officers, a couple of Marines, because every battleship had a Marine detachment. They all had battle stations, whether you were a cook or Marine or you were, whatever your job was on the ship, almost everyone had a place they had to be.
Right.
So several years ago, we had some great guys that fly out of the Irvington area that fly these Soviet-era Yaks. They're propeller-driven aircraft, and they hooked up with our Living History crew. And most of our folks do reenactments. Some of them do War of 1812 reenactments. Some of them do Civil War reenactments. So they're very involved, a lot of World War II reenactors, infantry, things like that. But they've been here for a number of years, and they're just part of our family now. And they come, and they come in usually on a small crew comes in on Thursday night to prepare. They'll welcome you aboard ship on Friday. You know, they're doing their little drills and saluting the colors. And they're in uniform, and they also serve as unofficial tour guides for us. And it's just wonderful. So Saturday, they're in their regalia. You know, they're doing this all day, the big drills at 1 o'clock. And then usually about noon on Sunday they wrap up, because many of these reenactors come from all over the Southeast.
To come here. And this is what's wild, y'all. Y'all come out to it. You're here. But they're going through this reenactment.
Yes.
It's like you were a fly on the wall when here comes some Japanese aircraft attacking the USS Alabama. You're watching this from a 3D perspective. You're in part of.
You're part of it. And when you see those aircraft come out of the sun and do that fly, that, you know, I call it a dump over, when they turn and they come. And then if you're on the deck and they're coming straight deck height.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I have chills thinking about it right now. It is really. And so, you know, we have one crewman that tries to return every year, William Hahn. His gun is the 20-millimeter Oerlikon machine gun, the last one on the starboard side. And a couple of years ago, he was on television. We put him at that gun every year during the reunion. Because of COVID, the April reunion was postponed, so they haven't been back. But you think about that young man, 17, 18, 19, standing at that machine gun, or the 40-millimeter Bofors, or the 5-millimeter 38-caliber guns on deck, and you just think, good gracious, we don't call them the greatest generation for nothing.
True. True. And watch, you know, you can watch movies, but to see it in person in real life, what a great trip for the whole family. So that's happening here, and also honoring the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II.
We are. Historic Naval Ships Association, the big celebration for that was actually out on the USS Missouri, one of our sister ships, to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the close of World War II. So we'll probably have a moment of silence or something to talk about the end of that great global conflict. Other things that are going on at the park, we have a mailbox down below if you come. Operation Gratitude is something that our curatorial department runs. We have pens, paper, envelopes, write a letter to servicemen and women overseas. We get those things, mail them overseas, and they're distributed. And also, if you have an event, we're starting to bring events back to the park. We had Battle in Bama, the big car show here a couple of weekends ago. It was crazy. We had thousands of people here, but it just did our heart good to see Battleship Memorial Park alive. So if you want to bring your event back, call us here and we'll talk to you about scheduling. We can handle social distancing all over the park. So we've been in business, but we're certainly back in business.
Great news. And we'll be out here at noon to be ready for the peak of the reenactment going on at 1 today.
All right. Sounds
Saturday.
Great, Sean. Good to see you.
General Cobb, thank you as always for having us back.
All right. My pleasure.
All right. We're coming back with more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5 live aboard the USS Alabama on the Fantail, the van. Command unit is on the Fantail. Put the picture up on Twitter. Y'all check it out. We'll be right back. Cameron Smith joins us next, and Mo Brooks after 12:35.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and we're live aboard the USS Alabama here on the Fantail, my favorite place to do a radio show. It's cool to be back. Big thank you to General Cobb and the crew here for having us back out. And Scuttlebutt Radio Network takes over at 1 o'clock. We'll listen to those Marines and those veterans talk as well right here on FM Talk 106.5. Want to check in right now with my buddy Larry Kirby from LCM, and let's talk inventory, Larry. Hey.
Hey, great. We're all excited here because we've got a great new bunch of inventory. We got them across the board. I hate to single out any of them, but we got a mixture of SUVs, full and midsize. We got trucks, we got cars, sport utilities. So we got a little bit of it.
Well, you do that. You got that great selection of vehicles we're always talking about. And like I mentioned the other day, when I saw that bucket truck with the LCM plate on it as well, you know, you have SUVs, you have cars, you have trucks, but you have commercial vehicles as well.
Yes, we got several commercial vehicles here on the lot right now. All of them diesels and different varieties. So we got a 5500, a 450, and a 350.
All right. Well, the best thing to do, if that sounds like it could help your business, is folks come out and check out that inventory. So tell us how to find you.
Highway 90 at Plantation Road, online at LCMotorCars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
All right, Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, and we'll talk to our buddy Cameron Smith with AL.com, and a lot to talk about in his latest piece over at AL.com. You can read it there. And the fact that he brought in the Heaven's Gate cult is, we did not talk about this ahead of time, but people I work with there at the station will know I like to reference the Heaven's Gate cult from time to time, and obviously so does my buddy Cameron Smith. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. I really did. We had no, you and I did not talk about this ahead of time, but for some reason, I have a weird, maybe a certain time in my life or whatever. I reference at least once a month something about those folks that were all ready to get on the spacecraft and disappear out of here. That's how you open your column this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that the leader of the Heaven's Gate cult was briefly an assistant professor of choral instructor at the University of Alabama. So there's a Alabama hook there.
Yeah, there's that connection here, but and you use it to talk about, like, that this is the end of the world, right? Apocalyptic talk, and then you take it into the politics of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I probably have more of a Jimmy Buffett political philosophy of, like, hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Just kind of chill out. The idea of, if you don't vote a certain way, the end is nigh, and we're all going to die, is exactly what cult leaders do to get people to do crazy things. And that's what's happening in our politics. I know everybody wants to say it's actually the other side. It's not my side. But I use the example in my column of, if the politician you trust the most told you to slather yourself in grape jelly to prevent COVID, would you back away slowly and say that's kind of weird? Or would you be one of the purple people? And guess what, Sean? You and I both know some people that would definitely be purple people.
And why is that? Why do you, I mean, I agree with you completely. And it leaves me, you know, I've said it during the Obama years. I've said it during the Trump years as well. So two political ideologies. But I said this cult of personality where people are, they don't talk about policy. They talk about the people, baffles me.
Yeah, I think. And it says something about faith. We want to put our faith in something, right? And, you know, often it's someone. And when we start saying, well, you know, I love my church and I love Jesus, but, you know, I really need a politician to take care of me. I need a politician to be my champion. Sometimes we lose perspective. And guess what? If the option is voting for politician X or imminent doom, people are going to always choose politician X because nobody's for doom. And, you know, that's basically what our politics right. boils down to right now. It's a big problem.
But it's success. Here's the problem. It's all these things. We can sit here and pontificate on the front porch, brother. We can go fishing and pontificate about this. But what works is what is being done here is making that choice. You know, this is the most important election of our lifetime. I've heard that, you know, my whole lifetime. But, you know, or like, if this candidate doesn't win, not only is it going to be bad, but it's going to be so bad you can't even picture it. And maybe that's what it takes. I mean, they've been successful with that messaging, so maybe they keep doing it because it works.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll concede the ground to that. It does work. If I scare you to death and I say, look, you and your entire family are going to die and be in a Soviet breadline before that if you don't vote for Trump in this election, Well, guess what you're going to do? You're going to say, well, you know, I may not like this or that, but, man, Soviet breadlines are really bad, and I don't want to be in one. And, you know, Gavin Newsom in California is like, well, your community is going to be burning on fire if you don't have a California approach to climate change. To which I say, really? Like, that's just not true, but it does work. I mean, scaring people works in politics, and it's going to take average voters being like, that just sounds kind of weird, and I'm not going to do that anymore. And so if you got a good idea, I'll back you. But otherwise, I've had enough of this garbage.
Well, and coming from the other side, you know, Biden folks saying, don't say that, Joe. But the Biden folks are saying, listen, if President Trump wins re-election, here we go. It's straight to fascism and all that. And, you know, I've if you pulled out the policies and the things that President Trump has worked on, and took away the personality on it, back to my cult personality, I think you get a lot of moderate voters in the country. If you just took those signature issues worked on and put it in front of moderate voters without the aura of President Trump, they probably say, that's good. That's good stuff that's being done in our country. Right? I mean,
yeah,
they would. That's good. I like it.
Done
then
it that
you,
way. We've said, well, hey, would you support an economic agenda that's more protectionist? And, you know, if they put Trump's name on it, Democrat support, the bottom falls out. If they put somebody else, if they put no name on it, Democrats are like, yeah, that sounds good. And so it's absolutely a cult of personality. And what's hilarious is for a long time, a lot of Trump's agenda, particularly his, hey, I'm focused on blue collar workers. I don't believe in, you know, all this global trade stuff. I'm going to use tariffs, him courting the union vote, things like that. That's basically bread and butter, moderate Democrat land, blue collar Democrat land. And that's where Trump's gone. And the fact that Democrats are saying, well, no, this is terrible. I'm like, well, you actually supported a lot of this historically. So the fact that you now say you don't like it, guess what? It's not that you don't like it. It's that you don't like him.
And that's exactly it. And, you know, that's the interesting thing that we'll see the first round of it in the debates coming up next week. How much of this will be policy and how much of it will be, let me put a technical term here, nana nana boo boo?
I got to admit, I'm really excited about watching this. This is going to be great entertainment. But I always put politics in terms of saints, sinners, and savables. That's basically the political landscape. At this point, I don't know if there's that many people that are going to be in that savables category, the ones who you could persuade and convince their minds, hey, you need to jump over to this side or that side. They may exist, but I floated this on social media a couple times saying, hey, you know, if you're undecided, let me know, and I get crickets. So I think a lot of this is already baked into the cake. People already know what they're going to do, and they either like what's been going on or they don't.
I've been doing, as we wrap up here, I've been doing that polling, too, to find out where how many undecideds there are. And I've been doing this for, I guess, a year, year and a half. I'm now up to 17 nationally, 17 people.
And that's the reality.
So,
I mean,
most
17 people are saying, I am in this category. This is righteous. The other side's evil. That's a weird way of looking at it. But I tell folks to avoid the cult mentality. If your reason for supporting a presidential candidate, a Senate candidate, a House candidate, your dog catcher, is because the other person is telling you the world will end, you really need to rethink your politics. Support leaders you actually support.
Well said. Cameron Smith, AL.com, or on Twitter, how they find you?
You can find me at @DCameronSmith. I got all kinds of fun pictures up there, things that we found in our backyard.
Excellent. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile. We are live on the Fantail of the USS Alabama.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, live from the USS Alabama here at Battleship Memorial Park. Yep, the Mobile Command Unit. If you're driving across the Bayway or the Causeway and you see the Mobile Command Unit, yeah, we're right here on the fantail of the USS Alabama, which is my favorite place to do a radio show. Big thank you to General Cobb for having us back out here. Segment of the show brought to you by Harry's. Harry's just came out with their sharpest blades ever. And unlike some other razor companies, they're not charging you more for their product improvements. Heck, the blades are still $2 each. I've been shaving with Harry's 7 years now. Telling you about that, and they're keeping the price $2 each. The convenience of having those blades show up at the house, the great shave, and for the fiscal conservative in you and in me, that $2 a blade is nice. And they got even better blades now and not raising our prices. 100% quality guarantee. And you can get Harry's sharpest blades ever at the big box, drug, or grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. Or if you'd like to shop online, and let me add, support this show, Harry's has a great offer for y'all. New customers get $5 off a Harry's trial set when you use my code Sean S. So S-E-A-N-S. So Sean S at Harry's.com. Includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use code Sean S at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try. All right, I want you all to say hello to AL5's congressman, a friend of mine, and I would add in a rock star on border security, AL5's congressman Bo Brooks, joining us now. Congressman, thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Sean. Hope y'all are recovering from the hurricane. I had a son and a district director on my office staff that were in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores when it went through. So it's pretty wild.
It's rough. It is rough. You know, and I was talking about this yesterday with Congressman Byrne, and hopefully, you know, with what you can relate through that along with Congressman Byrne, we didn't get the coverage down here. If this storm would have gone into the southeast Florida or New Jersey or something like that, it would have dominated national news. And I know it's a big deal to make sure people are aware of this when it comes to making sure that we, you know, and the FEMA funding's coming through now, but that people know what happened down here, right? It's important.
It is important. I hope everybody's recovering. May take some time for some, but as soon as we can get all the electricity going and the water flowing, and hopefully y'all are to that point now, it'll improve.
Yeah, you know how we do. We all just get it done. Just put your boots on and go to work and get it done. And we'll still be going down here. All right, so much to talk with you about, and I'm glad it's been too long since we've gotten to talk. I would have. First of all, and then when I come back to this border security, and I like it. I didn't know, you know, a lot of things I know about you. Rockstar, I didn't. I put that in my notes now. But I want to talk to you about the situation right now
in
Washington.
They obviously aren't asking me to sing.
Well, I was wondering. I was going to find out later. What do you sing? Do you play lead guitar? What part of the rock star? What part of the band?
I can do Once Upon a Wigwam.
Before we get to that, I do
the last song in the first lesson book on a piano. That's about it.
That's your solo material. We're working that up, Congressman. Let's talk some SCOTUS here, and let's talk about your call to get this done, and that is once President Trump nominates one of the two names, we imagine it's one of two names and one probably a better chance than the other. Once they do that, you're talking to the folks in that most austere body of the Senate to, you said, do their job. What's their job?
Well, they were elected through January. The president has a full 4-year term. This has come up during his term. He has a duty to make his nomination under the United States Constitution. Similarly, congressmen and senators are elected through January the 3rd of 2021. We just don't suddenly quit. We've got to put in the full 2 years on the House side and the full 6 years on the Senate side. And so if the president does nominate somebody, as he's obligated to do, then the Senate needs to vote on whether to confirm that nomination. And so this is all in the Constitution. There's nothing magic or surprising about it. Just as we're voting today, even though there's an election nearby, that doesn't mean we stop work. We continue to work, and I hope that the Senate and the president will too.
You know, to hear the mainstream media and the left here, this is the highest of high hypocrisy going on, for that McConnell, that he would even entertain this.
I don't think so. I think quite clearly what happened in 2016 had more to do with our disagreement about whomever it was that Barack Obama was going to nominate. We don't like judicial activists who make law. We want people who will interpret the law and apply the law. We don't think that our Supreme Court justices should act as super legislators whose egos are so big and their intellect so great that they believe they can supplant what public policy should be for whatever our elected leaders have passed. We're a republic. We elect people to make laws, and those people are not Supreme Court justices.
But, you know what, if somebody is 15 years old, Congressman Brooks, and they've been looking at the news cycle and didn't study, they just looked at what's happening. They didn't study our republic like you have. They would say, oh, the tough decisions get made in the judicial branch. Because, you know what, there's been a lot of that going on.
Well, that's the function of the judicial branch. It has equal power with the executive branch, where a lot of tough decisions have to be made, and the legislative branch, that's the United States Congress, where we also have the task of making tough decisions. But we have a balance of power schematic that was put together by the people who wrote the Constitution, where all three of our branches are supposed to be co-equal. And unfortunately, what the socialists have not been able to get through the legislative process, because the American people don't support those policies, they've been fairly successful at getting through rigged litigation in federal courts. And that's most unfortunate, and we need to put a stop to it. That's the judicial activism I'm talking about, and the epitome of that judicial activism is at the Supreme Court level. We see it far too often. I just want someone who will read the law and say, this is what it means, and apply it. Not create things. Read what it says, what was the intent of the people who passed it, and then apply it.
It seems so simple, but it seems to be speaking another language to many on the left in Washington and elsewhere. I want to kind of run through a couple things here, too. People probably heard this term, Congressman, packing the courts, maybe on the news last night or in the last few days. What is packing the courts? What's this plan?
We have had 9 Supreme Court justices on the Supreme Court since the 1860s. For roughly a century and a half. In the 1930s, Franklin Roosevelt tried to pack the court. He was implementing socialism fast and furious, and the Supreme Court was getting in his way. And in order to overcome the barriers constructed by the Supreme Court in protection of our freedom and liberty, I might add, he sought to increase the number from 9 to some greater number so that he would then be able to nominate and get confirmed people who would automatically ratify what he wanted done, regardless of whether it was permitted by the Constitution. Similarly, the Socialist Democrats in the House and Senate are pushing for an expansion of the court from the current 9 to some greater level, 13 or 15, that then would all be appointed by Joe Biden if he gets elected, all confirmed by a Democrat Senate if the Democrats capture the Senate, and boom, all of a sudden, you're changing radically the nature of the Supreme Court and the kinds of decisions that are rendered by the Supreme Court, arguably in favor of socialism, because after all, these people are going to nominate and confirm socialists if they get that power.
Just joining us, talking to AL5's Congressman Mo Brooks. And Congressman, you wrote something on Twitter the other day, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me here. You know what? It wasn't on Twitter. I just saw a discussion you were having about the security that was going on around the Capitol, right? And what had been ordained by Speaker Pelosi. So what is it? How many blocks around, or what is the zone around there? Because you were walking or exercising and saw the security set up. Explain what you'd seen.
Well, for years, we had no walls or barricades around the United States Capitol, and American citizens could pretty much walk wherever they wanted to on the Capitol grounds. Then things got a little bit more dangerous, and so we had some inner perimeter fencing or barricades. I was walking and jogging 6 miles yesterday morning, and part of that path that I take is across the front grounds of the Capitol, and I notice now that we have 2 walls or sets of barricades, one an inner perimeter, and then one that is an expanded outer perimeter that is brand new. And I asked one of the Capitol Police officers, well, what's going on? Why do we have this outer perimeter? Is this because of the Ruth Bader Ginsburg coming to the rotunda for a visitation or something of that nature? I said, no, This is in anticipation of protesters who might get violent, and we want to have the Capitol better cordoned off in order to protect the Capitol and the people who work in it. And, you know, that made sense, but it also caused me to chuckle, because here Nancy Pelosi is Speaker of the House, along with Mitch McConnell, but, you know, if it doesn't get done unless Nancy Pelosi agrees to it, seeking greater protection from these so-called protesters who, to a large degree, engage in criminal activity, and protecting her workplace, but unwilling to do so, and in fact encouraging those so-called demonstrations, i.e. criminal conduct, in places like Portland, Seattle, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and the like. So it's, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander doesn't apply here amongst the elite politicians. And it also plays hand in glove with what we saw with hairdressers, apparently in San Francisco, because of their fear of COVID-19. They've closed down all the hairstylists, except for Nancy Pelosi. She's an elitist. She's not subject to their own rules that they impose on the common folk.
It is a definitely let them eat cake kind of moment there. Very interesting. All right, Congressman, I want to last minute here before we have to run to the news. But what do you feel we're going to be for a timeline on anything getting done in the House? Is everything going to be on hold till after November 3rd? Or what about CRs? You have to get that done in the next 7 days, right?
Well, the House passed a continuing resolution last night. Unfortunately, they did it in such a fashion that I still don't know what's in it. Certainly did not know what was in it last night. We just suddenly got notice from the House Speaker's office that there's going to be a vote on a continuing resolution to fund the government. And my staff did not have the time or the ability to read it to find out what all is in it. Under those circumstances, and in light of who's in charge, I voted against it, as did one other member of the Alabama congressional delegation. It passed the House, of course, the Democrats. They have a majority, so they can pass anything they want to pass. We'll see what happens to it when it goes over to the Senate.
All right, and we'll be checking back in with you. We appreciate your time. Thanks for being on with us, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there he is, Congressman Mo Brooks, our guest right here on Midday Mobile. We are live on the fantail of the USS Alabama. Coming back, a little more of this show, and then we hand the torch off to the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. Special broadcast from 1 to 2 for Scuttlebutt Radio Network. Tom and Cal are in the green room, which means outside the van. They'll be coming on here in just about 15 minutes. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, live from the USS Alabama here on the fantail of the battleship, and glad to have you all along. Good to talk to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, man, it sounds like you're in a beautiful place today.
Man, it's a cool place to do a show, man. Yeah, come out here and do it with me one day. And it's a good view, a good radio studio view. If I could only get a full-time studio built here, we'll have to be working on that. Let's talk about what's going on at the shop. Like, y'all were last week kind of working through what everybody else was with power and issues there, but you got back open. What about this week? What's happening? People coming in? Are they looking to talk precious metal? What are you seeing?
A little bit of everything. People have been coming in buying gold and silver. We've had a number of people coming in to sell some things. A lot of people have sort of taken a look at everything going on in their life and realized, hey, that box of stuff in the closet, if Hurricane Sally would have come a little bit closer, that might have been irrelevant right now. So we've been buying a lot of stuff like that people have had sitting around, knew it was worth something, but didn't know what to do with it. They brought it here and got the cash.
Yeah, and that's good for people to think about. That box in the closet is probably the best reference, because people think, well, I don't have any ingots of gold or silver to sell. I don't have, you know, all the, I don't have the collectible coins. But, I mean, gold is gold. Silver is silver.
Exactly. We had somebody come in a little bit ago with a Ziploc bag with some stuff. Starts off with, I know this isn't worth anything, but, and walks out with $500. Can't beat that.
It's my kind of not worth anything. Yeah. All right. So y'all buy and sell as well. And if people want to come before they do buy and sell and talk precious metals, you give a heck of an education on this too, and explain things like spot price or what the market's been doing.
And we love to talk to people about things, because if they're getting ready to get into the gold and silver market, we want them to understand what all those terms mean. If they're thinking of getting out of stuff or maybe getting into rare collectible coins, we want to talk to them about that as well. If they want to get more information, of course, they can check us out on this radio station Tuesday night, 6 to 7, with Two Guys and Some Change, or then they can go to our website and check out the old podcast there.
Very good. Tell folks how to find you. That's, you know, that's listening, but if they want to come see you in person, kind of hang out with you, how do they do that?
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can come by the shop anytime Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Saturdays, 9 to 2. We'd love to see you.
Angelo, appreciate it. We'll check in with you soon.
You have a great one, Sean. Enjoy the day out there.
I will. There's Angela from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And, yeah, I'm going to be getting the Scuttlebutt Radio Network on here shortly. By the way, and a bunch of people enjoyed that yesterday, yeah, there's a group of y'all on the text line and on social media that I love it when I get angry. Well, and maybe it's because I just don't, like, get angry for sport all the time. But I got really teed off about that Newsweek article and the intimation of and we don't know that Amy Coney Barrett is going to be President Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, but just an assault piece, and not like on the Daily Kos or something. You know, if it came out on some kind of left blog, I'd be like, okay, whatever. They do their thing. That's fine. But it came out in Newsweek, which is, well, could make your points about Newsweek. But there, really an assault on the Catholic faith, I would think, if you read through that, and Catholics in general, it didn't come out and say it. It kind of intimated it, even though it said that the before they retracted it, their headline said that Amy Coney Barrett's charismatic Catholic group was the basis for the Handmaid's Tale. That's what the headline said in the Newsweek article. Now you went to the base of it and the retraction down there behind the Superfruit, you know, ads. It said that, well, in fact, it wasn't. But it started off a kind of a rip on Catholics out there. Now I looked at Twitter today, and it's a trending topic about Democrats attacking Catholics. I'm going to tell you right now, that's bad politics for Democrats out there. That's a bad, bad politics for Democrats. We'll pick this up in the discussion tomorrow on the show. I'll be here watching the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. Those guys start next right here on FM Talk 106.5.